In February 1979, an event of great magnitude shook the world and left political analysts dumbfounded. The event was a true demonstration of the will and power of a people and the fortitude and resolve of one man who decided Iran's monarchy must be overthrown. In this year, the Iranian people rallied behind Ayatollah Ruhollah Khomeini and took down a powerful regime backed by world powers such as the US, ending 2,500 years of continuous monarchical rule in Iran. The last emperor of Iran, Mohammad Reza Pahlavi, known as the Shah of Iran, ruled over a country with extreme strategic and geopolitical importance, massive oil reserves, and abundant natural resources and a rich history. All the elements needed for a nation to develop and become a regional power. But all this potential had been under the radar of world powers decades before things came to a head in 1979. Iran's monarchy was strongly influenced by Western powers. Western ways were being imposed on a people with a distinct rooted culture paralleled by their strong Islamic beliefs. This was where the Shah and his supporters underestimated the power of Iran's cultural and religious heritage. Dissatisfaction with the Shah's subservience to the West reached boiling point, and what ensued was a raging storm. The people rose to their feet and brought the monarchy to its knees. In this segment of Iran Today, we will be looking at this period of Iran's history, one of the most astonishing revolutions the world has ever seen. Iran's contemporary history shows that the Islamic Revolution was the culmination of centuries of struggle on the part of Iran's freedom fighters.
مردم در طول 2500 سال رژیم‌های شاهنشاهی و به خصوص در دوران سیاه رژیم پهلوی شدیداً آسیب‌های فراوان معنوی و مادی رو تحمل کردن. ملت ایران جنبش‌های اصلاحی رو پشت سر گذاشته بودن، یعنی جنبش مشروطه، ملی شدن نفت، 15 خرداد، اینا همه جنبش‌های اصلاحی بودن و به نتیجه رسیده بودن به طور تاریخی که با اصلاحات دیگه رژیم شاه و شاهنشاهی در ایران قابل دوام نیست، قابل استفاده نیست. بنابراین ناامیدی از جنبش اصلاحی مردم رو به انقلاب کشوند.
Long before the revolution, the movement against the totalitarian regimes in power had already begun. The 20th century saw changes in Iran's governmental system. The voice of the people gained strength, with noble classes, religious authorities and educated elite demanding a curb on royal authority amid concerns over foreign influence on the nation.
مردم احساس کوچی می‌کردن که هیچ نقشی در سرنوشت کشورشون ندارن.
ایرانیان همیشه بر هویت ملی خودشون اصرار می‌ورزیدن و هرگاه با بحران روبرو می‌شدن و تحقیر می‌شدن قیام می‌کردن.
In 1906, Iran's constitutional revolution made the first dent in the monarchy's power by establishing a parliament, the first event of its kind in Asia. But the system of constitutional monarchy came to an end in 1925 with the dissolution of the Qajar dynasty by a military coup led by Reza Shah Pahlavi. Thus the Pahlavi dynasty began, during which Iran took significant steps towards modernization, but was violated by the government's attempts to militarize and secularize Iran. Strict censorship and state propaganda was imposed, and Reza Shah tried to forcibly eliminate Islamic dress in favor of Western apparel by banning the chador, to which women reacted by staying at home. Then came World War II and the Anglo-Soviet invasion of Iran in 1941. The goal was to ensure supply lines for the Soviets fighting against Axis forces on the Eastern Front, secure Iran's oil fields, and veer Iran away from Germany, fearing the Shah's alleged pro-Berlin sympathies. But in 1951, the struggle over Iran's oil wealth ended with the nationalization of Iran's oil industry under Prime Minister Mohammad Mossadegh. But Western powers were not going to give up their stranglehold over Iran's assets without a fight. In 1953, the US orchestrated a coup. The CIA carried out the covert Ajax operation, bribing politicians, soldiers, mobs, and newspapers. As a result, the Shah removed Mossadegh from power, and once again oil began to slip through Iran's fingers. With Britain trying to regain power over Iran's reserves under pro-Western Prime Minister Fazlullah Zahedi. Iran retained only 50% of its oil profits under an international consortium, and Britain got a staggering 40%. Over the next 10 years, clerics continued their opposition against the Shah. One of the most prominent figures was Ayatollah Khomeini, who had no qualms when it came to calling for reform and denouncing the Shah's policies. In 1963, Ayatollah Khomeini made a speech denouncing the Shah, saying if he did not change his ways, the people would soon be glad to see the back of him. For this, he was arrested 2 days later. This sparked 3 days of major riots in which some 400 people were killed. Then in November 1964, the Shah passed the infamous capitulation law, whereby American military personnel in Iran were granted diplomatic immunity.
در ایران سلطه بیگانه به صورت کاملا شفاف و ملموس برای مردم ایران ظاهر و آشکار بود و این از زمان تصویب قانون کاپیتولاسیون به خصوص به صورت رسمی و قانونی در کشور درآمد.
In response, Ayatollah Khomeini denounced both the Shah and the United States. He was then arrested and held for half a year. Upon his release, Ayatollah Khomeini refused to apologize and drop his opposition to the government, which led to his exile to Turkey and then later to Iraq. The Shah's legacy is one of a tyrant, a dictator, and a megalomaniac. The people of Iran had no place in his plans and had no power over the decisions made for them and the future of their nation. The Shah ruled supreme.
مسئله این بود که استبداد و دیکتاتوری داخلی بود. رژیم شاهنشاهی به هیچ وجه پایبند هیچ قانون و مقررات، نه قانون اساسی و نه قوانین و مقررات دیگری که در کشور به تصویب می‌رسید. پایبند نبود. شاه فعال مایشا بود. هر کاری رو که می‌خواست در ایران